Today's Shiur, Mishnah Berurah Yomi, is Siman Tav Resh Mem Ches. We are up to Sif Tes. Now, the coming six Seifim will focus primarily on the halachos of an Esrog that developed some type of fungus called Chazazis. It's a sort of boil eruption. Now, the actual cause and symptoms of this eruption will be spelled out and detailed in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Baralacha in Sif Yud Gimel. Now, the first three Seifim in this series, 9 Tes through Yud Beis, discuss how much of the Esrog must be covered by the Chazazis in order to be rendered pasul. Now, we had a little bit of an allusion to this and comparison to it yesterday in Sif Katan Chavav, and we compared the situation of a esrog peeled in certain locations when it has a discoloration. But now we're going to actually get into the actual halachos of chazazis. So yoligas, also chazazis, if some type of boil-like eruption called chazazis grew also, perish targum o yalefes o chazazin, in the Aramaic translation of chazazis would be like, or a boil eruption. A boil eruption or chazazun. A love. So if a boil like eruption termed chazazis grew a love upon it, on the Esrog. So, im bishnayim o bishloshim bekomos, if it is in two or three places on the Esrog, puzzle, it's going to be puzzle. Im b'makom echad, and if it's only in one place, then im ala al rubo puzzle. Then if this chazazis is on the majority of the Esrog, it's going to be puzzle. Im al chatmo afilu koshu puzzle. But if it's on the chotem, even a small little chazazis on the chotem is going to be puzzle. And what is the chatmo? We've been describing it in very general terms up until now. He says the chatmo hainu mimakom shemaschil liskatzer ulischadeg klape rosho. And he says the chotem is of the esrog is where it begins to narrow and come to a point towards its peak. So let's see the Mishnah Berurah on all of this. Sif katan tes, also chazazis, right? A chazazis, this boil-like eruption grew, bein betalosh bein mechubar, whether it grew after the esrog had been detached from the tree, or even if it grew while it was attached to the tree, ela ba'inan shiya gavoa mishar esrog, but we require it to be higher than the rest of the esrog. What Mr. Brura is trying to clarify here is what does the word ulsa grew mean? Ulsa chazazis. Chazazis grew on it. So what he's basically explaining, and literally ulsa means came up, but here is what he means to say, you should not be take this to mean that when the esrog was picked from the tree, it was free of a chazazis, and only afterwards did the chazazis like also come up on it. Rather, it just means that if it developed on the esrog, regardless, even while the esrog was on the tree, it's going to be pasul. So what does the word then mean? Also, right? What does it mean it came up? So it means that the chazazis grew on it, meaning like it raised above the rest of the esrog surface, as we're going to see in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud Gimel, as spelled out by the Prima Gadin, Mishnah Zav. Okay, so that is the connotation that the Mishnah Berurah here is specifying. Again, this is in the Prima Gadin, Ayin Shom, and we'll see it more when we get to Sif Yud Gimel. So, when you have this Chazazis, so if it's in three spots on the Esrog, it's possible. Why? The Mechse Kimenumar. Like it says in the Gemara, because it looks like a blotchy Esrog, meaning an Esrog with boils in two or three places is like an Esrog that has discolorations, meaning spots with abnormal colors in two or three places, which is going to be pasul due to lack of hadar, as we will see in Sifim Tes Vav and Tes Zayin. Now, the implication seems to be that the area affected by the chazazis is not necessarily discolored, since if it were, there would be no need for a separate psul on account of the chazazis. The esrog would anyhow be pasul on account of the discoloration. In fact, the Prima Gadim, at the end of the siman, writes that the chazazis pasul the esrog even if the boils retain the natural color of the esrog, and basically indicating that it's not necessarily discolored. However, Prima Gadim elsewhere, this is the Eishel Avram test, as explained by the Shaar HaTzion, we'll see later in Sif Yud Gimel, teaches that the chazazis might in fact always be discolored, but that alone would not pasul the esrog, because that is the natural color of the chazazis. As the chazazis must also be raised above the surface of the rest of the esrog in order for it to be pasul. So that's an interesting split there. So again, the implication seems to be that there's no need for there to be a discoloration. Just the fact that you have this oil that erupts above it. Again, seems to be conflicting pre-Megadim regarding this. Now, we will move weiter. So the Shulchan Aruch had said, if it has a chazazis on the majority of the esrog, it's also going to be pasul al rubo lamed zayin. Hainu rov kol shetach esrog mishnei ha'atzdanim. That means to say that most of the entire surface of the esrog has the chazazis, including both sides. Now, what is the Mishnah Brura coming to rule out here? He's coming to rule out a mistaken understanding that if most of one side of the esrog is covered with chazazis, it is already pasul due to lack of hadar, since only one side of the esrog is seen at one time. So what we do take into account, rather, is the entire area of the esrog on both sides. And if the chazazis covers most of that surface area, then it's going to be pasul. Now, the reason for the difference between a chazazis in one place, which must cover a rove of the esrog, and a chazazis in two or three places, which is not subject to that limitation, is that multiple flaws are more jarring to the eye than one large flaw, and they therefore compromise the hadar of the esrog, even though they cover only a minority of its area. This is what Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Katan Lamed says. Now, this serves really to explain the statement in the Be'er Halacha here, Dibra Maschil Bishnayim, that a chazazis is deemed to be in two or three places only if there is a noticeable gap between each affected area. Otherwise, it's not so jarring to the eye, and therefore, it would really have the status of one large chazazis. The Aruch HaShulchan points this out as well, that same Aruch HaShulchan. And the Shulchan Aruch said, if you have this chazazis on rubo, pasul. Sif katan lamed ches. Why? Why is it pasul? Because it is not hadar, right? And this is clearly the view of the Ramah, which we'll see coming up in Tuf Resh Mem Tes, Sif He, who maintains that the esrog is pasul for all 7 days of Sukkot. And therefore, it cannot be that the esrog is pasul on account of being chaser, incomplete, since that psul of it being incomplete applies only on the first day of Sukkot. In other words, we have discussed up until now the shaila when something is a fundamental psul, which for sure, meaning it doesn't have the whole, it's so lacking that it doesn't have the shame esrog, which is for sure going to be pasul all 7 days. Then we saw that the psul of hadar is a shaila. Some say only one day. The Ramah holds all 7 days is a psul of hadar. Also mashma that way, if you look at the Pashup Shara of the Gemara right in the beginning of Luv HaGazal, the hadar applies all 7 days. So like by Yavesh. Sounds
like the pashtus of the Gemara there. But again, it's a subject of a machlokes, whether Hadar applies to all 7 days. But for sure, the psul of chaser, that only applies to the first day. So therefore, it must be on account of lack of Hadar, which according to Ramah, applies on all 7 days of Sukkos. Now, the Rush suggests that according to the Yushalmi, an Esrog with a Chazazis is considered Chaser. So therefore, accordingly, it would be possible only on the first day of Sukkos, and Sharetzion there to Tafresh Mentes Sifhei in Sif Katan, Nun Gimel, basically incorporates this view into his discussion regarding use of an Esrog with a Chazazis on the latter days of Sukkos. So, see there, Ayin Shom. We continue on, Sif Katan Lamed Tes, Afilu Kol Shehu Puzzle, that when it's on the Chaitim, even a Kol Shehu, even a smallest amount, will puzzle if there is a Chazazis. Shenire Shom Leinayim Yoser Sharm Komo Shebo. The reason is because on the Chotem, that area is more conspicuous than other areas of the Esrog. What's the reason? Because that slope is where a person rests his eyes. Meaning, a person's gaze is naturally drawn to that uppermost part of the Esrog. So any chazazis in that area compromises the hadar of the Esrog. Now, it should be noted that the Ber Halacha in Sif Yudbeis, Dibra Matzil Mimakom, paskins that the pitim itself, not including the Shoshanta, is included in the Chotem. So therefore, a chazazis or discoloration on the pitim itself would also passel the Esrog. There are others that are Cholek, and Rav Shlomo Zalman says, even though the Minig is to be Makel, it is proper to refrain from using such an Esrog based on the Ber Halacha. Now, the Ber Halacha also in Dibur HaMaschil Mi Makon in Sif Yudbeis, he proves, not in Sif Yudbeis, in the Mi Makon, in this Sif, Chatmo V'Hainu Mi Makon, in this Sif Tes, the Ber Halacha proves that although Esrogim typically begin to narrow at their midpoint, the Chotem must actually begin higher than the midpoint. Because if the Chotem were to begin at the midpoint and thus encompass the entire upper half of the Esrog, a Chazazis on most of the Esrog would by definition reach into the Chotem, so the Esrog would be invalid on account of having Chazazis on the Chotem. And there would be really no need for the separate psul of a chazazis on most of the Esrog. The Shevet Halevi, basically, he in Ches, in the Shevet Halevi, in the Shut Shevet Halevi, Ches, he brings a challenge to this proof of the Ber Halacha, where he says, while it's true that Esrogim usually begin to narrow at their midpoint, perhaps the separate disqualification of a chazazis on most of the Esrog is needed for those Esrogim that begin to narrow higher than the midpoint, since the Chazazis on the majority of those Esrogim will not necessarily reach into the Chotem. And once we have accounted for the need for that separate disqualification, there's nothing preventing us from saying that in all cases, the Chotem begins from where the Esrog begins to narrow, even where that is the midpoint of the Esrog. Now, notwithstanding this question, though, the Shevet HaLevi concludes that Lahalacha, the halacha is indeed that the Chotem begins somewhere above the midpoint of the Esrog, and he asserts that Shulchan Aruch's double expression in his description of the Chotem, i.e. where he says it begins to narrow and come to a point, implies that the Chotem begins only once the Esrog begins to come to a point, which is typically higher than the midpoint. And there are others that agree with this as well. Let's now continue on weiter. Sif Yud. Now, as an introduction to this Sif, we saw in the previous Sif that an Esrog with a Chazazis in two or three places is possible. the Shulchan Aruch here cites a dispute, a machlokes, as to whether this is true under all circumstances, or whether another condition must be met in order for the esrog to be possible. So, Sif Yud, Yesh Omrim, Dahad de Bishnayim Ushlosha Makomos Puzzle, Hainu Dafka Kishnish Pashe Ha Nimur Be Rubo, Afal Pi Shebe Shetach Ha Chav Rub Chav Reburos, Hu Miut. Aval Be Miuto, Nojakulam Mitzad Echad Shal Esrog, Kasha. So he's saying there are some that say that which an Esrog with a Chazazis in two or three places is puzzle. It's only when the blotching is spread over most of the esrog, even though the area of the spots is a miut, a minority of the esrog. But if the blotchy areas are on a minority of the esrog, as is the case when they are all on one side of the esrog, then it's going to be kasher. Okay, let's see. The Mishnah Berurah is going to spell this out. Sif katan mem, shevashetech hachavuvot, the area of the spots, right, is a minority of the esrog. Because even though the area of the spots is a minority of the esrog, it's only going to be possible when the blotchiness spread over most of the esrog. So he says, Perush, Shemakom Achavuros Atzmam Hu Amiut, meaning that the area of the spots themselves is a minority of the esrog. But the blotchiness had to have spread over most of the esrog. As he says, Sifkatan Mem Aleph, Shekulam Mitzarecha, that when they are all on one side of the esrog, then the blotchy areas are on a minority of the esrog, and then it would be valid according to this yesh omrim, the bikasher. Look what he says: shekula mitzad echad. Mashma, he says, the nispashek mehem gam mitzad hasheni mikri rubo. This implies that if some of them spread to the other side as well, then it's considered mikri rubo, davi rubo rov hekefo, since that would be the majority of its circumference. Even though it is not the majority of the entire surface of the esrog. Now, what we mean to say is like this. A side of the esrog is that half that faces a person when it is held upright. If the entirety of all the chazazah spots can be seen on one side of the esrog, then by definition they cover no more than half of the esrog. And this presumes that the esrog is, of course, not lopsided. If most of its bulk is on one of its side, then Chazazah's blotches that span that entire side might very well cover most of the esrog. Now, we want to make it clear here that this, what we're saying here, applies only to Chazazah's in two or three places on the esrog, and then the esrog is considered blotchy, even if the affected places cover most of the circumference of the esrog without covering most of its surface area. With regard to a single Chazazah's, we pointed out, the esrog is puzzle only if it covers most of the esrog's surface area, as we stated in the Mishnah Berurah above. This is because when there's a single chazazis, the esrog is puzzle not because it is blotchy, but because of the unsightliness of the actual chazazis spot itself. That sort of blemish compromises the hadar of the esrog only if it covers most of the area of the esrog. Now, there's a famous chazanish, Kuf Mem Zayin Hey Dibra Maschil Safek, where the Chazanish disagrees with Mishnah Berurah's understanding of the reason why multiple Chazazis disqualify an Esrog. And with it, with his Chamor ruling here regarding Chazazis that covers a majority of the circumference of the Esrog, but not a majority of the total surface area. The Chazanish maintains that when multiple chazazis appear on the esrog, we view the entire area between one chazazis spot and the next as being covered with chazazis, as though it were one large chazazis. And based on this, just as one chazazis spot passes the esrog only if it covers most of its total area, multiple chazazis spots likewise passes it only if the area bordered by those spots covered most of the total area of the esrog, and not only most of its circumference. So that's a kula of the Chazon Ish, that we're not talking about rov of the circumference of the esrog, but rather the spots are going to have to be in different locations so that when you outlined it, the spots, it would cover the majority of the esrog, not only the majority of its circumference. We continue weiter, sif. Oh, before we have to just finish up the sif yud. Yesh poslim afilu b'miyuto shel tzad echad. He then says there are others that pasel even if the blotchy areas are only on the minority of one side, meaning you don't have to have the spots on the different sides of the esrog. And he then says the Mishnah Berurah sif katan membeis afilu b'miyuto. He says halavush ve'eliya rabba pasku kedeya harishona. They paskin like this first opinion. V'chein mash magam v'pri megadim she'ein psul ad she yispashe berubo. He says levush and eliya rabba paskin in accordance with the first daya in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Prima Gadim likewise indicates that the esrog she'ein psul ad she yispashe berubo, that the esrog is not pusul unless the total blotchy area has spread over most of it, most of its circumference. Miu in the spashe dam l'tzad hasheni shel esrog kvar be'arnu b'sif kavna kodim v'mikri rubo b'zeh le'kulei alma. However, if it is spread to the other side of the esrog as well, we have already set forth in the previous sifkatan that this is deemed a majority of it, so it is puzzle according to all opinions. Okay? Now, this Levush and Eliyahu Rabba is notable since ordinarily when the Shulchan Aruch cites two views and presents both as Yesh Omrim and Yesh, right? Some say, and then Yesh Poslin, or like Halacha usually follows the second view, as we will see coming up in the Mishnah Berurah, Mem Dalet coming up. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in fact, he happens to paskin in accordance with the second view here, that even if you have three in one side of the esrog, therefore on the minority of the circumference of the esrog, it will pasul. Finally, sif yud aleph. So once again, we saw in sif tes the Shulchan Aruch taught that a single chazazah spot must cover most of the esrog's surface area in order to pasul the esrog. He now discusses a situation where a single chazazah spot covers exactly half of the esrog's surface area. To explain a little better, the basic halacha is that the esrog is pasul only if the single chazazah covers most of it. The question is whether, when it seems to us that it covers exactly half of the esrog, we must be machmir due to the concern that we might be in error, and it actually covers more than half of the esrog, as we'll see coming up, spelled out in sif katan mem dalet. So let's see. If it is half with no chazazis and half with chazazis in a single place, right? There are those that are machshir, and there are those that pasul. There are those that say it's valid, and those that say it's not valid. Kasher and pasul. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah on this. Sifkat and Mem Gimel, im hu mechzal mechzif, is half with no chazazis and half with chazazis. He says, we're not talking where half the esrog on one side was covered with chazazis from top to the bottom, from the top to the stem, since, right, Rosho adz navo, daha berosho levad posal chazazis b'miyuto, because if even, since if there is on the chazazis, just on, at the top of the esrog, if there's a chazazis at the chotem, just at the top, it's going to pasul the esrog, right? Pasul chazazis b'miyuto. Right? And, you know, you can't be talking where half the esrog on one side was covered with chazazis from top to the bottom, to the stem, because even if there is chazazis only at the top of the esrog, it's going to be pasul on a minority of it. Rather, the case is that we're talking about half, it's toward the oketz, over the entire circumference of the esrog. So it's like the entire bottom of the esrog has chazazis, and it looks like it's 50-50. So some are machshir and some pasul. So we've got the mem dalid, yesh machshir and yesh poslin. What's the issue? Svir lehu de'eshel etzamtein. Those that say it's kosher, they maintain that it's possible to be exact. Yesh poslin svir lehu de'eshel etzamtein. And those or Cholek hold that it is impossible to be exact. Again, those who say you can be mitzamtein, it means we trust the measurement that yields that exactly half of the esrog is covered by the chazanis, and the other day hold we must be concerned that most of the esrog is in fact covered by the chazanis. Now the question of whether we trust our measurement to be exact, this is a major machlokas in many areas of halacha, and it's actually a machlokas tanoim. So what's the issue here? So the machlokas in our sif reflects a general disagreement in the Rishonim as to the practical halacha. Notably, though, the Shulchan Aruch elsewhere actually rules definitively that we do trust our measurements. And that's pretty interesting because, as we will see as follows, the fact that the Mechaber brings it at the end and it's a yesh, so whenever you have a yesh, you go with the second one. Because of the low sagi, he says the prima gadim who writes that it is not sufficient, it's inadequate for if a majority is found to be acceptable, right? Meaning without the chazazes by measuring it. Rather, it has to be apparent without measuring it. The Bikur Yaakov, he says, Cholek Bikur Yaakov, Cholek al zeh ayin sham. He, although disagrees with this, see over there. Again, why we machmir, based on the second yesh poislim as opposed to the yesh machshirim, because again, this is in accordance with the general principle that when Shulchan Aruch has two opinions with a yesh omrim and a yesh poislim, he goes with the latter opinion. You can check out the Klal of Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, in the Ha'ara Yud Gimel there. Now, when we say over here that the Prima Godim maintains that it's not going to help when you actually measure it, but it has to be apparent without measuring, he basically says that this Chomer view of the Shulchan Aruch will not suffice just with a majority of the Esrog. The pshat is it has to be an apparent majority, a Rov Hanikar. And this is inferred from the expression Rov Hanira Leinayim. It has to be a Rov, a majority that is visible to the eyes, which is actually appears in the Tumim Deim, which was authored by the Ravid with regard to this halacha. The Pri Chadash states that the need for an apparent majority, a Rov Hanira Leinayim, is a Midrabanan, the Rabbanan Zikah requirement. Now, the Bikurei Yaakov, who he points out, is Cholek, he points out the Ravid himself says the reason we are machmir, if it's half, is because we cannot trust our measurement, implying that if the measurement yields that most of the esrog does not have the chazis, it would be kasher. So the expression that he uses, rov anira le'inayim, needs to just be understood as requiring a majority, and it has to be apparent so that we know it's a majority. So that's the machlokas here in the Achronim.